Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. Time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smokin' Dave's Barbecue and Brew, Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
The deal hasn't been signed yet. I think they're probably still working out the financials of the deal for Sean Payton, but he is going to be the new head
coach. What do you think, Friday presser?
I heard it might be Monday.
Yeah, it could be. Trying to get elements of ownership together and everything else.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, overall, Sean Payton's coming here. What did the Broncos give up? I know that was a huge topic of conversation. They gave up this year's first-round pick. What was it, 29? And I thought they'd have to give up at least a first and a third. Instead, they give up a first this year, a second next year, and a return next year. They get the Saints third. Essentially, when you look at the draft calculator, if that's what you want to call it, this year's third easily is worth the same as next year's second.
Yes, I would say so. So really what you get right down to it, if you want to just get down to the baseline on it, Bradley Chubb for Sean Payton.
And a second round pick next year, yeah. But then you get the third.
But you get the third round pick to offset that. So we'll see. It's a very interesting process. I thought the Broncos won that part of the equation.
It's funny. A lot of people thought that the Saints extracted as much as they could, and I'm sure that they did.
Yeah.
But they didn't get two firsts out of it.
No, they didn't.
Right.
No.
And if you look at the history of John Gruden, who was traded, if you look at the history of Bill Belichick, who was traded, the Broncos had to give up the least for a guy who had the most impressive resume. John Gruden hadn't won anything.
No.
Before he went to Tampa in that trade, but did win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Bill Belichick, his career was checkered at best with the Browns and the Jets. And then he goes on to the Patriots. We know what happened with him, with the New England Patriots. But for a guy with his resume, that's a pretty good deal.
I'd say so.
And it's great for Russell Wilson. At the end of the day, when you're going to invest close to $250 million, you better find a way. I mean, you can use a million different analogies. If you're going to invest that type of money into a quarterback, if you're going to invest that type of money into a chef, don't put him in a crappy kitchen with crappy ingredients. Give him something to work with. And now he has Sean Payton to work with, who, by the way, had Teddy Bridgewater as a quarterback. Bridgewater was 5-1.
What is first five? He was 5-0
as Payton's quarterback.
Right.
Jameis Winston was 5-2 under Payton. Taysom Hill was 7-2. Overall record with those three quarterbacks, 17-5. You would think that with Russell Wilson's talent, more talented than all three of those guys combined, you would hope that the record is going to be better than 9-8.
How's the entourage look for Russ now?
Sean's not going to...
I would be stunned if there's that kind of latitude for Russell Wilson moving forward.
Sean Payton is a no-nonsense type of guy, and I don't think he's going to tolerate the celebrity quarterback. I don't think he is going to tolerate the... Unless it's in his contract, hey, Russ, you get your own office. I think there's going to be as much physical coaching on the field as there is mental coaching on how to approach the game differently.
And I could be wrong. God knows it wouldn't be the first time, and it certainly won't be the last.
Just ask Sarah.
I could be wrong, but I think Russ is ready for that.
He is.
I think that Russ will not only facilitate that, I think he's looking forward to it. I really do. I think that Russell Wilson, in his own way, admitted to us late in the season, especially after the last game, that this season was a large heaping plate full of humble pie. And he did his best to navigate it in the way that Russ knows how. It grew a little tired, but I think now he has an opportunity to do what he came to Denver to do, to reinvent himself, maybe not in the image that he had initially seen for himself, you know, the power couple, the star couple, you know, the
danger sandwich, danger
right,
witch,
you know, spicy, all of these things. Yeah. But I do think that if he is focused, and I don't think that Russell Wilson's a stupid guy, he's trying to reclaim at the age of 34 his career that is off the rails right now.
This is where it is off the rails. He will go into the Hall of Fame if he retires tomorrow. However, I don't believe he will be a first ballot Hall of Famer if he retires tomorrow. If he bounces back in a big way, boom, then he gets back on track for being a first ballot Hall of Famer. With that, when Nathaniel Hackett came to town, we have Russell Wilson, right? When you look at Nathaniel Hackett's resume,
it never gets old because it's a little overdone, but it's pretty close.
Right.
It's pretty close. It was the one moment where heads snapped around like, wait a minute, did I just hear that?
Let's go back to something Todd Davis said months ago, who, by the way, will be joining us in about 5 minutes because he played for Sean Payton.
Sure.
Todd brought up a good point about Russell Wilson, to which it was, hey, why am I changing? Why am I doing anything differently? I've been to 2 Super Bowls. I've won one. Look at my record as a quarterback. Look at my stats.
Right.
I don't really need to change. I have the resume to back up my attitude. What was Nathaniel Hackett's resume? Marginal offensive coordinator with the Bills, marginal offensive coordinator with Jacksonville, really good friends with Aaron Rodgers, kept that guy on a straight line because of his personality, probably was good for Rodgers in terms of winning 2 consecutive MVP awards, but he never called plays. So when you slap both resumes next to each other, Wilson and Hackett, it's almost as if one of these things doesn't look like the other.
You're right.
Now Sean Payton can walk in and say, here's my resume.
Yeah.
And you called me. Here's my resume. I know your resume. I know my resume. And I am the head coach. And I have a proven track record. And oh, by the way, Bridgewater was 5-1 under me. And Winston was 5-2. And Taysom Hill was 7-2. If I can do that with them, trust me. Listen to me. I can do that with you. But if you want to go your own way, Russ, we're going to have more problems and both of us are going to fail and both of us are going to be in the same rowboat that somebody throws a brick in and the season is going to sink that fast.
Don't you want to bet dollars to donuts that they get an experienced veteran quarterback in there? I think that there needs to be competition in the quarterback room, at least competition in a friendly way, but also that gives them an alternative and an out competitively if they've got to have it.
It depends on what that costs. I'm not willing to spend my salary cap on a veteran backup who's going to make $8 to $12 million.
No. I don't think. You're right. No, you can't do that.
Give me Gardner Minshew. I'll be thrilled with that.
I'd have no problem with Gardner Minshew.
However, Gardner Minshew is going to probably make somewhere in that category of money.
Maybe
a little less. Coming up after the break, Todd Davis, Super Bowl champ, played for Sean Payton. What does he think of the hire? That's next.
This indecision's bugging me. Indecision, they molest me. If you don't want me. Well, you can tell everybody.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about my friend Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance, the Cook Insurance Agency. I've worked with Eric for well over 5 years. He does my health, my auto, my home. He does the same thing for my wife. Love working with him because he's on top of everything. I've had some challenges with insurance in the past. He takes care of it for me. I'm not the one on the phone with the insurance agency. He's the one who helps me out with it. I'm not on an island. He's absolutely by my side, step to step, step for step. And a lot of insurance agencies don't work that way. They look at you as a commission check. They just let it roll over year after year after year. With Eric, it is totally different. Checks in with you every year to see if things have changed, if you need a new policy, if you need to make some adjustments to it. That's the type of customer service you should expect. If you don't feel you're getting that from your insurance person, you got to go with Eric. If you just want to check it out to see if he can give you a better rate, talk to Eric. Give him a call today, 303-790-8089, 303-790-8089. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Eric Cook at Farmers Insurance. The Cook Insurance Group, focused on people, not policies. Call today at 303-790-8089. That's 303-790-8089.
All right, let's go out to the hotline. I want to bring in Super Bowl champ Todd Davis. Todd, you know him best from the Broncos, but he started his career with Sean Payton and the New Orleans Saints. Good morning, Todd. How are you?
Good morning. Doing great.
So, what do you think of the hire?
I think it's a great hire for the team. I think he'll provide a lot of structure. I think he'll be a guiding light in these dark times, and I think he'll do a great job as their head coach. I know he wasn't maybe their first choice, but I do think that he's a great man for the job.
I asked you this yesterday, and I'm curious about expounding a little bit upon this culture. How does he change the culture? You said something interesting with the snap of a finger or the blink of an eye. How so? How do you see this guy coming in and working to change culture? And what kind of culture do you think that he will demand?
I think that he'll do a great job of changing culture because he is very specific on his demands and his wants from his team, his players, how they execute. He's not shy about saying what he wants and how he wants done. So everybody will know their job. Everybody will know their responsibility. And everybody would know how it's supposed to be handled and done. So I think he'll do a great job in changing the culture in that aspect. Is you want to see guys looking around kind of confused. I think many times last year the offensive line was confused in their job or who was supposed to block who. That's not going to happen with Sean Payton. Everybody's going to know their job, know their role. And if you don't, you know, there'll be some hefty consequences and, you know, some harsh words until you get your job together.
We are talking with Todd Davis, a Super Bowl champ, played for Sean Payton when he started his career. His segment is brought to you by the Davis Fund and Mindful Meals. A couple of months ago, you brought up a really good point, and every once in a while, we sprinkle this into the show.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson came in here with a very impressive resume, and you said maybe his attitude is, why do I need to change? Look at my resume. Look at what I've done. Well, is it fair to say that Sean Payton walks in with a resume just as impressive and say, hey, listen, Russ, you did reach out to me. I look at my resume. Now it's time to do it my way. Do you think it's going to kind of work that way?
Absolutely. I feel like Sean Payton is not a man to take a back seat when it comes to calling an offense or how he sees fit to run the offense. So I definitely feel like he'll come in there. People know his pedigree. They know how great he is, the offensive mind. He's going to run it his way, and I think you'll see a much better offense when it's run his way.
Eric was chatting in the last segment about quarterbacks, and not just Drew Brees. We understand the success that Drew Brees had with the Saints and with Sean Payton, but other quarterbacks at various times that had still been successful in the absence of a Drew Brees. So what is the magic, what is the quarterback whisperer element of Sean Payton here that we need to know about, Todd?
You know, I think he's just a great offensive coordinator in the fact that he can use the players that he has around him. He's not going to make Jameis Winston, you know, do the same you know, deep balls or throws that Drew Brees can make, really putting it in the pocket of the receivers. Same thing as Taysom Hill. He's not going to ask Taysom Hill to make Drew Brees-type throws. He's going to use him for what he's good for. So I think that's what his specialty is that he really can get the best out of his players by allowing them to do their best and be at their best when they're on the field. And I think he'll do the same with Russell Wilson. I don't think he'll ask him to sit in the pocket as much as, you know, he did with Drew Brees, but I think he'll be able to mix a little bit of Taysom Hill with the Drew Brees that he's had. Meanwhile, throwing a little bit of Jameis Winston with the deep routes. I think it'll be great overall.
You are in a unique position because you retired recently. You know, you retired last year. With that, you played for Vic Fangio, and there is word, according to Dave Logan, that Sean Payton might target Vic Fangio to come back as the defensive coordinator. How do you think that will go over in the locker room, obviously, with the defensive guys?
You know, it was a tough struggle when we were there with Vic Fangio. He's a hard-nosed coach and likes to definitely work his players hard. I did hear from people who played for him in Chicago that he was a much better defensive coordinator than he was a head coach. So I know that there may be a bad taste in some of the guys knocking him as a head coach, but maybe it is true that he is a better defensive coordinator than a head coach. So if they brought him back, I think that's up to them. But, you know, like I said before, he's not my favorite defensive coordinator that I've ever had, but he is a smart and talented defensive coordinator.
Why wasn't he one of the most favorite defensive coordinators you ever had?
I think it was just a mix of things for me. You know, he was coming over. Ultimately, I didn't end up, you know, staying with the team in long term. You know, maybe just his coaching style wasn't my favorite. I didn't necessarily love him as a head coach. I've had plenty great ones. I think Kubiak maybe has set the high bar, and you know, everybody kind of fell underneath that. So, you know, just not my favorite. But like I said, he is a great defensive coordinator.
Todd, are the Denver Broncos better today because Sean Payton is the head coach?
Yes, 100%, without a doubt. I think that's a huge spike in, you know, the team and the offense. You know, for years, offense has been a struggle. He's a great offensive mind, so I think they're much better today with him as their head coach.
When the Broncos got Russell Wilson, I asked you on the show many, 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 many months ago, are the Broncos a playoff team with Russell Wilson? And you were very candid. You said, no, they're not, or at least I don't believe they are, because they don't have enough experience on that team to potentially put him in that position. As it turns out, you were spot on. Now that they have Sean Payton paired with Russell Wilson, new culture, do you believe as we stand here today, the Broncos are a playoff team with Sean Payton running the show?
I do believe that Sean Payton can bring that winning culture to the team. The habit of winning is learned, and I think that a lot of those young players, they're still young, even to this day, Jerry Jeudy, Corbin Sutton, Tim Patrick, haven't learned how to win and be successful in the league. And that's something that Sean Payton has, for many years, been able to be successful for a long period of time. So I think he'll be able to teach them the culture of winning, be able to teach them how to prepare, how to practice, how to execute. So I do believe at this point that they can make the playoffs. They may be the last team to make the playoffs, but I think that they have a shot.
Cade McNown said something interesting, I thought. Obviously played under Sean Payton. Said that he thinks that he is worth 4 wins for a football team, just based on what he brings to the table. Now, maybe he was talking about the Broncos specifically. I don't have the total context.
And get him to 9-8.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, is he that much of a difference maker?
I think he really is.
Yeah.
You know, just talking about his tenure as a coach with the Saints, he was successful no matter how many people changed within the organization from different position coaches or coordinators. He was always successful. I think that he is definitely worth 4 wins for the team. And 9-8 is not bad after having a couple terrible seasons like we had.
Let me piggyback on that for a second. You know, leading up to this move, a lot of people were saying, I disagree with them, by the way, but I'm curious to know what you think. You can't give up a first-round pick for Sean Payton. I believe if you have the right coach, you can give up 2 first-round picks for a coach. I would do it for Kyle Shanahan. I would do it for Andy Reid. I would do it for Mike Tomlin, because I believe that a coach touches every part of the organization. And for a first-round pick, that's a 50-50 proposition anyway. When it comes to draft picks, the Broncos are giving up a first-round pick this year, which is about 29. Then they're giving up a second-round pick next year, but they are getting a third-round pick next year back from the Saints. Did the Broncos get off easy in this, or do you think trading picks for a coach doesn't make sense?
Yeah, this is tough. I think that they were in a bind, and I think they ultimately didn't want to make this decision because of that, you know, those picks in the air. I think that's why they, you know, went after D'Amico Ryan heavily and even Jim Harbaugh again, because giving up picks, I think that's a big piece to creating your team. I know the coach has a lot of say and touches every piece of the organization, but, you know, that first-round draft pick could have been, you know, another Von Miller, John Elway, who knows who could have came, but I think that they were in a bind. I think they made the best decision that they could have. But I think it is tough to see those picks go.
Which team made a bigger home run hire? I think it's a – well, actually, I'll ask you. Which team made a bigger home run hire, the Broncos or the Buffs with Deion Sanders?
I think the Buffs, I think he knocked it out of the park with that one. I think they have a great coach and then also for the organization. And for the college, there's going to be a lot more eyes, a lot more kids coming, a lot more money coming in, a lot more. I think if everything great is going to be better with Deion there. So I think the Buffs ultimately won this one just because the eyes are going to be on the school and the kids are going to transfer and the ability to make, you know, potentially the college football playoffs now and, you know, put him and his son and everybody on a bigger stage. I think the Buffs won.
By the way, I know that you are going for your master's degree. Would you like to tell everybody what school you've chosen?
Oh, man, you're just going to put me out on the spot.
Go ahead, dude. You and I talked about it at the gym. You were wearing their colors proudly. So who's your new team now?
Oh, man, I guess I'm at University of Arizona Wildcat now.
Okay, well, I believe the Buffs will likely play Arizona this year. Which team are you rooting for?
You know who I got to go with. I'm the Buffs. I love the Buffs, but, you know, we beat them once at Sac State. I think we could do it again, so let's go on. Okay.
What if Sacramento State played Arizona?
You know, ooh, that's tough. I'm going to have to cut a shirt in half like Kelsey.
No, you can't. No, you can't root halfway. No, you can't. Pick a side, Todd.
Okay, well, if I'm picking a side today, right now, I am currently a Wildcat.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to go with the Wildcat.
There you go.
You played for them. You're taking online classes at Arizona. How in the world can you pick Arizona over Sac State?
You know, Sac State is, you know, my love. And I think she's, you know, the last love of my life. But right now, I moved on to a different woman, and we're having a great relationship, so I want to see how this goes.
Fair enough.
You traded up is what you're saying. You went from a Toyota to, I don't know, you went from a Toyota to a, I don't know, an Infiniti. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, something like that.
Well done. Tell us about Mindful Meals and the Davis Fund.
Yeah, so Mindful Meals is a mentor kitchen I started here in Denver. We provide meals to gyms and families, but we also do Hopeful Meals, which our cancer, Alzheimer's, and heart disease preventative meals that we give away to our community to make sure that everyone has a healthy meal and continue to live healthy. So, and then also the Davis Fund is another nonprofit that I have, and we are a real estate development firm where we focus on middle income and workforce housing. We think it's important for everyone to have a place to call home that's affordable, not overpriced. We all know that Denver is getting really expensive, so we want to do our part to give back to the community.
How do people get involved if they would like to?
The best way to contact me is to email me at toddavis@thedavisfund.com. And I'd love to get in contact with you so we can help our community.
What are you working on today at the gym? Is it a leg day?
It is, man. It's the worst day of the week, but it got to be done.
Right. And are you at the gym now?
No, I'm heading in now. I'll see you there.
Yeah, I'll see you there in about a half hour. All right, see you, pal. Todd Davis.
Thanks, Todd.
Mindful Meals and the Davis Fund. Appreciate it, pal. Coming up after the break, many of us looked at this coaching search as a mess. Okay? We had no idea what was going on. A lot of misinformation out there. This is the phrase that we used multiple times. Will it turn out to be the Machiavellian principle? Have the ends justified the means? That's next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Okay, many of us looked at this coaching search as a mess at times. The question is, have the ends justified the means? I'll ask you. I think you can make the case it did. They got to their destination. They got a really good head coach. But give me one adjective to describe the last month plus of this coaching search.
Muddled? It was frustrating. But it was frustrating because it didn't follow the normal parameters, I think, of what we generally, collectively, understand the process to be. It was done differently. Certainly nothing is owed to us except the truth.
What does that mean to you?
Well, I think that if you are asking, if you ask questions that hit close to home, and I think that you are deserving of an honest answer. I do believe that. And if you've done your work and you've done your legwork and you've done your background and you've done things, and you should be able to get an honest answer. Now, I realize that that's a little bit pie in the sky, but it would be nice to think that that still exists, even in our business.
There was a treasure trove of misinformation out there. Every day was a roller coaster ride. There were leaks coming from all over the place. Some will suggest none of it came out of the Broncos organization. I could not disagree more on that. A lot was coming from Mickey Loomis as well. Stuff is coming from all over the place. Do I believe the Broncos got a really good coach? I do.
I do too.
Do I believe he was their first choice? I do not. Somebody tried to sell me on the fact that if we wanted Harbaugh, we could have had him. I don't agree with that. They certainly could not get DeMeco Ryans. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter where you're picked as long as you're the right person. I told this story before. My first television job, I was told I was the fourth choice. I have no problems with that.
Worked out well for you.
Worked out well for me. I hope it worked out well for the three other people ahead of me.
Yeah, okay? Good for you.
I really do. But with that, I think Sean Payton was the most surefire get.
Really from the get-go.
Right. He's not working, wants to get back in the game.
Exactly.
Trade compensation, I understand that you have to work that out. As far as money and stuff like that, you can find a way to make that happen with the Penner Group. That's not going to be a problem. I don't think there's going to be a hangup about how much he is going to get paid. But I don't believe for a minute that they could add Harbaugh if they wanted to. Not for a second. Now, what I do believe is this. They could have had Harbaugh if very, very, very early in the process, they would have said, Jim, you're a guy he would have accepted. I do believe that. I believe that Harbaugh basically said to them, you need to let me know right away. I'm not going to go through this process. I'm not going to be dragged through this. I already have a job at Michigan. Either you hire me now or you don't hire me. So they could have had him early, but as the process went on, and then you hear about the flight to Michigan, right? Now, I agree with you. Harbaugh wouldn't have taken the meeting if just because he wanted to, you know, break bread.
He wasn't doing it for niceties. He was doing it to really once and for all figure out whether that's something he wanted to do.
Right.
But that's it.
It was uneven at best. People inside the Broncos organization will tell you it worked exactly how we wanted it to. Please. There was a lot. I can tell you right now, yesterday, there was a lot of tension in that building. And it has been sold through and through other media members, that no one was panicking in the building. I could tell you yesterday, as a matter of fact, there was a lot of uneasiness in that organization.
Yeah, then you get into semantics, panic, right. Uneasiness. Look, right. Anytime that you're making a decision like this, there is going to be frayed nerves. There's going to be tension. There's a lot of moving parts. The future of the franchise depends on it. There's an incredible amount of money being spent and talked about. And this is also, for this ownership group, a first-time process that, in their own way and defined in their own fashion, they wanted to be successful with. My guess is that they feel this morning like it was a successful process.
Yeah, because the ends justify the means.
Exactly.
I know it was a long and winding road to get there.
Right.
It was very frustrating at times, but you hit your destination.
Bingo.
And you got a really good head coach.
You made the biggest splash that you can make. Jim Harbaugh,
swung
notwithstanding.
Big.
Right.
Swung big.
And you got the guy.
One more thing. Let's look at overall what the Broncos have done over the last 2 years. Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. Three first-round picks. Three second-round picks. You hope it works out. But if it doesn't, then what?
Let's cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah.
I'm about coach searched out.
Right,
me too. It's been a three-week process that has been very different.
Five weeks.
Five weeks. Right, I hear you. Right.
It started
Hackett
got fired.
You're absolutely right. But from a standpoint of
6 weeks.
Eyes on it.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're really bearing down on it. 3 weeks in a day, right? 3 weeks in a day.
There's a great term in poker. You go all in Texas Hold'em.
Yeah.
In this case, the Broncos went all in. They pushed all their money into the middle of the table with Russell Wilson and then said, well, I do have some money in my pocket. I'll throw that on the table as well and push the rest of it in. That include the mortgage papers, your kids' 529 plan, and your 401k. That is all sitting in the middle of the table right now. What do we have coming up, just in case you missed it?
Did Sean Payton's wardrobe on Fox this weekend have any meaning behind it? And who were the final three AFC Pro Bowl quarterbacks? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
The confusion that was hate belongs now to the baby down the hall.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to RMFP.com. By the way, here's some reporting from our friend Vic Lombardi. Vic is reporting that the contract for Sean Payton, 5 years, $85 million. That is $17 million a season, according to a couple of websites that I looked at, one of them being Pro Football Talk. That would make him the second highest paid coach in the NFL, only behind Bill Belichick at $20 million a year.
Less than I thought.
less than I thought as well. I mean, there was a lot of talk. It would be anywhere between 20 to 25 million.
Yep.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not like it's something that's going to count against the salary cap anyway.
Yeah, right. Yeah, absolutely. It's just a question of positioning and, you know, where he stands in the pecking order. But at the end of the day, that's a little less than I thought.
Overall, real quick, I want to get to our friend Eric Cook from Farmers Insurance, the Cook Insurance Agency. I talked about him earlier on in the show. I've been working with Eric for well over 5 years. He does my health, my auto, my home, does the same thing for my wife as well. I love the fact when there has been problems with the insurance agency, Eric's like, I'll take this over.
Wait a minute, who does that?
Right, he does. And I got to tell you what a relief it is when he does do that. With that, Eric, how are you, my friend?
I'm all right. How are you this morning?
Bruce and I just talked about it. I love the fact that when I'm stuck, you're like, I'll take this over. I know you've been doing that your entire career, but I'm guessing a lot of insurance agents don't do that, do they?
Well, if you can get a hold of them, right?
Right? Right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's kind of one of the things that we try to do in our agency is to make sure that, you know, we are answering the phones and we are getting on things right away. Take care of our people. That's what we expect.
Now that we are into 2023, what kind of things can you do for people who maybe don't have their insurance policy set up? And if they don't, they're probably in a bit of trouble right now.
Yeah. So, you know, with the health insurance side, we've got a few days left if you have qualifying events, loss of coverage, things like that to get you taken care of before February. Other than that, you know, we've got the life and health and our workers' comp, commercial, you know, general liability, things like that that we're taking care of right now. Just doing our usual policy renewals as we come up with our clients, sitting down, going over their coverages and making sure that everything is square and people are covered correctly.
The other thing I like about you is when people decide they want to work with you, you have streamlined the process to make it really easy. What is that process?
Yeah, so basically if you want to get a quote from us, we've got a link that we can send you where we have access into a policy that you have so we can see the coverages without sitting on the phone with you for 45 minutes or so trying to get all the information that we need to get a quote. So we're able to pull that information and then basically follow up with, you know, the person who's trying to get a quote from us or get a policy from us, ask a few extra questions that may make a difference. But we're really trying to make sure that we give that real streamlined, real quick quote for people without keeping them on the phone and wasting their time.
Generally speaking, when people call, they're going to want to work with you, Eric Cook, but your staff is fantastic, specifically
yes.
John.
I'm lucky.
Who
yes.
You really, really, what? Tell everybody about the experience that you have on your staff so people can get the right policy.
Yeah, so John in my agency works right under me. We're always in constant connection with everything that's going on with it, but he's usually the one that gets in. He's on the systems. He sees any alerts that are coming up right away. He's quick on the phone to make sure that we can avert any problems or find out if there is a problem coming up, jump on those right away before it really steamrolls. So I'm fortunate to have him, that's for sure.
And like you, his communication skills are second to nobody. He is on top of it all the time. He and I went through something, and he was constantly, constantly communicating. I love the fact that you return phone calls quick. You return emails quick. If this doesn't sound like your insurance agent, and most don't do what Eric and John do at Farmers, the Cook Insurance Agency, highly recommend you give them a call just to check out what your policy would be with them. How do people get a hold of you?
It's real easy. Just give a call, either myself or Johnny. And number's 303-790-8089.
303-790-8089. 303-790-8089. Eric, have a great day.
You as well, Eric. Thanks.
See you, pal. Time now for the final word.
The final word.
Are you ready?
Presented by Sasquatch Casino in Blackhawk. Just in case you missed it, is presented by Argonaut Wine and Liquor. You need to see why Westward named it the best liquor store in Denver, 5 years running, or order online at argonautliquor.com.
All right, guys, just in case you missed it, so yesterday as the news broke on ESPN, Adam Schefter said Sean Payton was wearing an orange tie and pocket square on Fox on Sunday, and it was not coincidental, implying that Payton was sending a message to Denver that he wanted to be in Denver coaching with the Broncos. Do you think Payton's wardrobe choice on television was really a message to the Broncos ownership?
It was the first thing I thought of when I saw it on Sunday. I happened to see it.
Let me ask you a question. Do you remember what anybody else was wearing?
No.
Okay, I didn't watch it.
Yeah.
But I was told everybody was wearing orange ties.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Now, I'd have to look at a picture, so I might be speaking out of school here, but I think they were doing a promotion for Little Caesar's Pizza.
That, I guess, could have been. It wasn't my... Little Caesar's was my second thought. My first thought was, oh, look, he's wearing orange. Isn't that interesting?
So if somebody can find that picture, I could be wrong, but I brought that up to somebody, and they said, no.
I've got the video at the station.
It is a coincidence because they were doing a big promotion for Little Caesars.
We ran it Sunday night.
Which is the official pizza sponsor of the NFL, which tells you the NFL will take any type of sponsorship dollars, because when you put ketchup on white bread and American cheese, if that's the pizza of choice, I can't help you.
But can you put ketchup on a hot dog?
No.
Oh.
Cannot.
I disagree.
I do too. Although I don't eat hot dogs. So.
All right, just in case you missed it, the final AFC Pro Bowl quarterbacks have been named, and they include Trevor Lawrence of the Jaguars, Derek Carr of the Raiders, and as we spoke about yesterday, Tyler Huntley of the Ravens. Huntley started four games, he played in five games, threw for two touchdowns, and had three interceptions. Obviously, being named a Pro Bowler doesn't have quite the same meaning as it once did. I mean, Carr and Huntley as Pro Bowl quarterbacks, what are we doing here?
Well, I don't have as much problem with Derek Carr as I do Huntley, and it's
a terrible season.
And it's nothing against him. I mean, you know, I'm sure that he's a guy on the come, and maybe he'll go on to have a great career, but he did not have a Pro Bowl-worthy season this year. And, look, I know that it's skills competition now and flag football and everything like that, but the Pro Bowl is still something, you and I know this, that guys, I don't know if they covet it, but it's worth something to them to be named to the Pro Bowl.
This year should be a perfect example for everyone voting for the Hall of Fame to not put a lot of stock in the Pro Bowl.
Fair enough.
I mean, seriously. And by the way, I don't think the NFL could have picked a better time not to have a game, because really you're rolling those three guys out there as the best of the AFC when all we do is talk about all the great quarterbacks in the AFC.
No kidding.
And this is what we have.
Derek Carr at least gets a victory lap in Vegas. I hope that that's cool. I hope. I don't know if it will be, but
And he also gets a sign on his front lawn that says, for sale. That was Argonaut Wine and Liquor. Just in case you missed it, there's going to be another one-day sale at Argonaut February 9th. All wine, 20% off. All liquor, 15% off. All 12 packs of beer, $2 off. Make sure you check them out. They always have great sales, but specifically on February 9th, you can find them on Colfax, order online, argonautliquor.com, or check out their app. That's going to do it for us. Well, after 6 weeks, we finally have a head coach.
Got it finally done.
We don't have to talk about a coaching search anymore.
Nope.
Just a press conference that will be coming up, and then let's move on to free agency. Make it the best possible day you can.